down. We were totally blessed this morning. Totally. Say totally. Totally blessed. Mightily blessed. Wow. You know, one of the things I enjoyed very much this morning is that there is wisdom for every problem. Amen. I said there is wisdom for every problem. And one of the problems we need to address as church workers, singers, choristers, whatever we are doing, is the problem of the smallness of the things we are doing. Amen. If you are a pastor of a church, to see that your church you are pastoring can become bigger. Yesterday, Bishop said, there is a better version of everybody's life, everybody's ministry. Tell your neighbor, there is a better version of you. Yeah. Oh, tell the person again, there is a better version of you. Ask the person, are you aware of this important fact? Yeah. If you are a pastor, there is a better version of your church. If you are a singer, there is a better version of your singing ministry. If you are an instrumentalist, there's a better version of your skills of playing the instrument. And what God is doing is that He is moving us higher and upgrading our status to become better versions. That's why, you know, Paul puts it in a very powerful way. He says, until we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That is why nobody has any business retiring, because nobody has come to that measure of Christ yet. I said the fullness. Many of us are around 1/8 or 1/4 or less than half, but there is so much more you and I can do. And I believe that even in South Africa or whatever country you are coming from, your nation must see a better version of your church. When we come to your country and we are driving through your country, we must see cathedrals built with the name of your church shining on those buildings. Is it a good thing? That is why God is stirring us up to rise up to build mega churches, to do big things for Him. Because our God is a God of big things. When He called Abraham, He told him clearly, He said in Genesis 12, He said, I will make you great. This is God. He said, I will make you great. God does not call us to make us small. So anyone here who has the Spirit of God in him must believe God that your ministry, your church is going to become better and bigger and greater than it has ever been. And one of the things you need to do is to understand the reasons why you must have a mega church. The reasons why you must be an overseer, a pastor of something that is not 10 or 15, but when you are counting your members, you must count them in thousands. How many of you are believing God that when you are counting your members, you see, very soon, when you meet your members, it will be in a stadium. And 500 members, churches would have gathered in a stadium. Is there anybody who can dream that there are about 100 buses parked around where you are meeting with your church members? I said 100 buses. Not mini buses, but big buses. May there be no auditorium or no cathedral that will be able to contain your members when you are gathering. And the same anointing God has placed on Bishop Dagwood Mills is the anointing he is also giving you. And a new generation of mega church pastors are going to rise up to do greater things. More anointed pastors. You know, what I believe is that women are going to become more powerful in the end time than the young men. Can I hear a shout? Every sister in this conference is receiving the anointing to be a mega church pastor. You are preaching to 10,000 people. You are preaching to 5,000 people. There are women here going to have 200 branches of your church. 2,000 branches of your church. Today, in your church, you are only used to serve tea and Coca-Cola and biscuits. But very soon, you are going to be serving the word of God to 10,000 people. You'll be preaching to people in stadiums. The anointing upon men will come upon you times 1,000. Receive that blessing and that anointing. That is what God is doing. And every lady here, no matter your background, no matter how many abortions you have committed, how many boys who have slept with you, how many bank managers have slept with you, this conference marks the beginning of a new life, a new anointing, a new grace, a new fire, and a new power. Clap your hands for Jesus. And let's receive Bishop to minister to us today.
What a blessing. What a blessing. Chapter 68. The art of leadership. I am sharing with you some of the things I don't usually talk about. I just wrote them, but I believe that it's good that I share a few in our conference. Now, the next very important point is make people obey you when you are not present with them. Make people obey you when you are not present. Galatians 4:18. Galatians 4:18. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing and not only when I am present with you. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing and not only when I am present with you. Amen. Now, one of the mighty keys of church growing is the church planting. Planting of new churches. Okay? And I have a book on church planting that you should listen to, and even preaching on church planting. Now, new churches, right, require new pastors. If you plant one more church, you need one more pastor, one more shepherd, one more leader. Now, this is the, more than, you don't need money, you need somebody. Do you get it? Not resources. You need somebody. to be the pastor there peacefully so that you can go and come happily. Like I said, the last time I was at my church, there were 2,000. You know, we count all the time. Now, when I came for the Crusades and I came back, there were 3,100 and something who came that Sunday. So they have increased by 1,000 people in a month without me being present. So that's Galatians 4:18. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Galatians 4 has some nice verses. 28 is also a nice verse. This talks about Isaac. 18 and 20 are the two verses in Galatians 4. You know, this tells you that we are like Isaac. We, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So when the Bible says, and Isaac went forward and increased and waxed great and became very great, and the Philistines envied him, and you know this verse is telling you, for he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, possessions of cattle, and the Philistines envied him. People are going to envy you. Then Galatians 4:28 tells you that now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are just like Isaac. May you wax greater and greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. This is the verse you need to connect yourself to Isaac's destiny. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Hey, let's go back quickly before we get lost. Verse 18. It is good to be zealously affected always. Zealously affected means that, like, you are affected zealously by God. Do you see? Powerfully. You are powerfully good. And in a good thing. Not in bad things. In a good thing. Always. And not only when I am present. So there is a type of leadership which works only with your presence. When you are there, it will be great. When you are not there, oh, things are different. Now, one of the things that sometimes people comment is that, oh, they go to a lighthouse church and it's the same. It's the same in Guyana. It's the same in Fiji. It's the same in Zimbabwe, the same in everywhere. You see? So what it is that it's the attempt to get people to be zealously affected in the particular things we are teaching them. Do you understand? Always, and not when I am present. Because if it is when I am present, then your leadership is limited to where you are. That means there can be no branches. There can be no expansion. There can be no growth, real growth. Because, look, Johannesburg, Soweto is huge. That's the first point. Then let's come to Johannesburg is huge. Gauteng is huge. Wherever you are, the cities are huge, big, 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 big. The one church idea is past. It's like an old method. Do you see? So branching and branches are the way to go. Even if you don't even feel a leading by the Spirit, the nature of cities and the nature of populations will teach you that if you are to continue, you need branches. So people must be zealously affected in shepherding. People must be zealously affected in the anointing. People must be zealously affected in the word of God. People must be zealously affected in all the things. Not only when I am present with you. Okay? So how do you do that? How do you make people obey you? Which is the chapter 64, I think I'm sharing about. How can you make somebody obey you when you are not present with them? Are you with me? So, number one, teach about, yeah, before I say the first point, let me give you this as the first point, is that the people have to hear the same things. Because it's what you hear that makes you a certain way. So if the people far away hear what those near are hearing, you can get those who are far away to be the same. So people who have been able to build churches far and wide have developed a system where the people far and near hear the same thing. Wow. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's take a very big church like Winners Chapel. I heard Bishop Oyedepo say, all Winners Chapel churches preach the same message, first service. Everybody has the first service the same. And number two, second service, everybody preaches the same thing. And he writes the outline of the message. Simple and short. And he says it's one shepherd for the flock. Yes. And his pastors. You see, let me tell you something. Preaching the same thing and being asked what to preach, told what to preach, is not a new thing. Neither is it a sign that the pastor there is inferior. No. It even shows the pastor has a good spirit. Paul did that with Timothy. Look at Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 1. It says, thou therefore, my son, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 2. Now, the things you heard me, from me, my messages, okay, which you heard from me, the same message, commit thou to faithful men. And those faithful men should also be able to teach others the same thing again. Change the version, if you can change the version. And you see it maybe a little different. Can you change the version? The things which you've heard of me, and trust this, no, NSB is not, it's too close to King James. It says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Okay. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Teach these truths. Teach these truths. Let's read on Message Bible. It says, pass on what you heard from me. Pass it on. Make a new one. Pass on. Same thing. Same thing. Pass on what you heard from me. The whole congregation saying amen. Amen. To reliable leaders who are competent to teach others. Yeah. Don't be, you see, people who want to come up with new things, unfortunately, you know, one person accused me, said I teach basics and I don't have revelation. And I say to you, if these are the basics, then I'll always be on the basics. Because what I'm sharing with you are from the scriptures. And the fruits are there. All these newfangled messages, which we don't know whether they are based. You see, you can use the Bible to say anything you want to say. You can actually just use it to say anything you want to say. Because it talks about almost everything in the world. If you want it to be a book that is talking about medicine, you will find medical things. If you want it to talk about astronomy, the Mazarot is the constellation. Mazarot is a whole Hebrew word which means constellations. The Pleiades, we see it in the sky. You have a beautiful sky here, you people. I don't know if you can see the stars. Tonight, if you are around, come, I'll show you the Orion, the Pleiades, Mazarot, and all those. They are right there. You can see them. Yeah. Beautiful. But it's all in the Bible. If you want to use the Bible, astrology, what have you, you will find scriptures. If you wanted to talk about motivational things, prosperity, you can get it and make it say that. You just pick out and here and there, and you just have something to say. That's not what we are here for. Look at what the Bible is teaching. And pass on the same message, because the message is good.
Amen.
So, I will teach you in my churches, teach these things. And we used to just do it once a year, twice a year we do, but now we are getting towards almost 90 to 100%. Teach what I taught. I'm becoming more confident about it. Especially when I heard Bishop Oyedepo saying that. You go to wherever his church is, here you think it's an airport. And you see, wisdom is justified of her children. The children of the thing should show you the wisdom that is in it. Yeah. If you were called and you knew how to preach, you would have been doing something that you are. Many of us are. We are. God is using us to help the apostle and the shepherd to shepherd the people. There are levels of everything. Jesus himself is a shepherd. Then what are we? We are nothing. Although you are using the same word. You see, when I qualified from medical school, we took an oath. He said, the first step in the oath is, I will always respect my teachers. Because although we are all called doctor, there are differences. When I was in the medical, when I was a doctor, there was a doctor called Dr. Gosh. I tell you, he's the only one who could do certain things. They will call him. They will not. They can't. Nobody can do. He was an Indian. Yeah. When his gynecological things. Oh, he will tell you the things he has done. Right. He can operate without anesthesia. Yeah. Without anesthesia. He can operate without anesthesia. He told us how he did it. He can do blood transfusion without blood. I mean, yeah. Without blood from. The whatever, I take the patient's blood and use it. He told me how he saved so many people. Yes. But we are all called doctors. It's even funny to call yourself doctor next to such people who are called doctor. So you may be called pastor, but maybe even that word pastor is not really, it's not really suiting you compared to certain people who are called pastor. So you need to be humble and learn this master key. The things you've heard me say. I like some of the versions you brought. You know, some of the other versions. Yeah. Pass on. The NLT. Very nice. You have heard me teach these things. Confirmed. Now teach these truths. Loyalty message teaching has been confirmed. Over and over and over. I am invited literally all over the world in different languages to teach about, and I can't go. Because my ministry has also been transformed where it's not so easy to be invited now. Because I'm organizing my own programs. And the program I organized for myself is bigger than the one you are inviting me for. It's true. So these truths have been confirmed. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others, the same truths. So people listening to the same truths across board creates a large number of people in different locations who have the same mind. And that's how you are able to let them be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. When you are absent. Now, one of the things that has also really helped us is podcast. Podcast has united the church in different locations. And I want to introduce my podcast to all of you, those of you who don't have my podcast. If you have your phone, you go to your phone. If it's a somebody's got to help me. If it's an Android, you go to what? Google Play Store. We have altar calls in our church for podcasts. All those who don't have podcasts, you don't know what it is. You think it's an animal. You think it's come to the front, and then they come. And we teach you. Bring your phone. Go through your phone. You go to Google Play Store. And then when you go to Google Play Store, you search for what? Podcast Addict. Podcast Addict. I'm actually showing you now. You search for Podcast Addict. Okay? Then you download it, isn't it? On this phone, if you are like my age, you don't know these things well. What you do is you just press. Anything you press, it means it's going on. Just keep on pressing the same thing. And if you don't know how to get a younger person who is very clever to do all these things for you. Alright? So you just keep pressing. Then when Podcast Addict comes to your phone, then there's the thing that has a round sign like a magnifying glass, you press it. That one means you are searching for something. So when you press it, then it will give you a way to type. Then you type my name. I want to encourage everybody here to get my podcast. So you type my name, Dak Heward Mills, and then it will come up, the podcast. Then you say you want, but everything I told, just keep pressing the same. Just press things and it will come on free of charge. Now, this conference, you don't have to buy any message. There's nothing for, it's just on the podcast, free to your phone. You don't have to sit here with your phone and put on your phone to record what I'm saying. It's coming to your phone automatic. So then it will come and you see 1, 2, 3, then it means that it has come. So there's no more buying. We don't sell messages anymore. We receive them free. So nobody is going to sell all the whole conference. And when you come to my name, there's that you are not pastor's conference, and there's what else? Huh? Video podcast and what else? And the audio podcast, and there's Healing Jesus conference. What about Sunday? That's all under audio. That's the audio. Yes. So the conference will come free. So get it. If you use an Apple phone, you go to what? App Store. When you go to App Store, press it. I told you everything, just keep pressing it. Press the App Store. When you press it, what will happen? You search for... No, is there not podcast already on the app? Is podcast not already automatic on... Some of them have podcasts already. So then when you go into the podcast, type my name, Dak Heward Mills. When you type my name, it will come. Then you press all the things that it says. You want this, subscribe. Just keep pressing, press, press, press. It will come onto your phone. If you don't know how to, just find a young person. It will come on free. All the messages, we don't buy messages anymore. We don't buy tapes anymore. It's now automatic. Then your phone has usually a very loud speaker, especially for speaking. Not so good for music, but for talking, very loud. So your phone is the best preaching thing to have. You can be in a room with this thing, it's on. And you can have hundreds of messages So the whole conference, you can just be soaking it in. Just your phone is by you. No, you don't need any special guy. Don't need to buy sound system. You don't need to buy nothing. The video one also comes. If you have the internet, it just comes on video. You can watch the video if you watch video on your phone. So now that's it. This blue sign is the podcast. If you just remember this violet sign, that's the main thing. When you see it, you know, you are home. Press. I've told you to press things. Anything, just touch. Go to and search. That's it. Podcast will unite the church and fulfill Galatians 4:18. You know, I remember recently I went to some countries that I've never been before. Our church has been there for years. I've never been there to preach. Jamaica, Guyana. When I arrived there, it's as if they are my personal friends. As if they are my personal friends. Botswana was the same. As if they know, I mean, like they are personally, like my personal, like people that are with me. Podcast. I'm sharing. They always, all of them are listening. Now, pastors, don't only listen to treasures. Let your members listen. It makes them, it makes it easy for you to pastor them. Sometimes you should sit down and tell the member, we are all listening to this message. Everybody, that's what we call root camps. Everybody with a earphone, and we are all listening to this particular one. It's all free. Technology has wiped out all the businessmen who were using tapes, making CDs. It has wiped and cleared all these people from the system. Are you still around or you are leaving? What is my topic? What am I teaching? How to make people obey you when you are not present, or when in your absence you are not there, and how to make them obey you when you are not present. And the verse we are using is Galatians 4:18. Is there any other nice verse in Galatians 4:28? Is another nice verse, but that is not the topic. Back to 18. What does verse 18 say? It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Galatians 4:18. Can you remember that? Yes. So we will never succeed in doing great things for God if we cannot master the ability to make people who are not present obey you. So I have people in South Africa who are obeying me, although I'm not there. I'm not there. Occasionally, I visit. Occasionally. But I'm not there. But they are following what I say. How much more you as a leader, you are there with the people, you still can't make them obey you whilst you are there. Then you realize that your leadership is even weaker. That's why I was teaching about strong leadership. Only be thou strong. It's the only thing God was telling the leaders. Only be strong. I just need you to be strong. I just need you to be strong. I just need you to be strong. All right? So the first thing is, everybody must hear the same thing. Then everybody will be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Amen. Number two, teach or learn about loyalty. Doctor, teach and learn about loyalty. Loyalty. Teach and learn about loyalty.
Teach and learn about loyalty. Amen. And that is a very, very important way we will have to introduce the spirit of getting people to obey. You see, one of the things you need to understand is that people naturally are stubborn. Yeah. It's not that they are bad or they are evil. I mean, naturally, people just do not want to line up, including you. We are not talking about somebody somewhere. You yourself, you are like that. If you are different, it is just by the grace of God. And because of knowledge you have that has changed you. But you are normally not a person who easily obeys, who easily conforms. So when you don't deliberately and intentionally teach people to be loyal, you have left them to be themselves. And when they are themselves, there's confusion. So that is why, listen, you know, there are many churches which don't have the culture of loyalty and disloyalty. Even that name does not exist in many churches. So in those churches, people behave anyhow. They do what they want to do. If they have to attend their meeting, they attend it. If they don't feel like attending, they will not attend it. Because that is the natural behavior of the human soul. So it is, as Bishop was teaching us this morning, the wisdom of even teaching something is something we must learn. That people genuinely don't know. You see, people don't know. It is consistent and deliberate teaching of subjects. That, I mean, that's like all of us. If you are a doctor, you are an engineer, you are a lawyer. I mean, I was not born as a doctor. I had to go to school and deliberately study medicine for 7 years. Nobody is born with the knowledge of mathematics. You have to go to a primary school, sit down, you are taught 2 + 3 = 5. 1 + 2 = 3. For many years before you can even pass an exam. So when we come to the church and we think that without teaching, people will normally behave well, people will normally do the right thing, you call for meeting, they will naturally come, then you've not understood human behavior. You've not understood human behavior. So one of the things we are learning here is the culture of a pastor opening a book and teaching. You see, when you see a pastor teaching, he's not just imparting knowledge, but he's also changing behavior. Changing how people behave. So you go to a place, say, oh, Ghanaians are like that. Or Nigerians behave this way. Or South Africans are like that. You are talking about the natural South African who has not been taught. But when you teach the South African, he will not be the natural South African, but will be a different type of person with a new behavior. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Are you still around? Or you are leaving? If you leave people to be natural, they will be disloyal. Disloyalty is the default behavior of a human being. Default behavior. Default, the bad thoughts will occur to people. People will think you are cheating them. They will murmur. They will grumble. They will be disaffected. They will be discontent. It's normal. If you just leave them like that, just be there. Hosea, look at Hosea 6, verse 7. Or even let's look at verse 6. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Now look at verse 7. It says, but they like men. You see, men, they like men. This is how men are. Have transgressed the covenant and have dealt treacherously. You see, treachery and disloyalty is a practice of men, man's nature. They like men. A man naturally disobey or transgress and naturally behave treacherously. It just happens. That's why the Bible says a faithful man who can find, not common. You just wake up and faithfulness is just flowing, it's flowing. Loyalty is just flowing. A faithful man, who can find?
Hosea 6:7 says, they like men. Men, they like men. Ordinary men have transgressed the covenant and dealt treachery. How they are treacherous. That's why within the political parties, they hate each other. But within, they are treacherous. This one is gunning for this position, fighting, scheming. They are all against each other within the party. That's how men are. That's how men are. Sometimes you even wonder. So that it's the election unites them against each other, against the other side. But within, oh, you don't have that in South Africa. Within the party, you see treachery is the normal behavior of a man. Just like the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. That's the one that you all know. God lies out in deception. We don't like the truth at all. It's like man's behavior is lies. God is not a man. That's why we sit here, there's so much deception. So when somebody speaks the truth and says the truth, don't say that. But is that the truth? Hey, this man, he says it like it is. It's just the truth. It's not I'm saying anything like it is. The truth is there and you are preaching the truth. Hosea 6:7. If you leave the people, if you start a church and you leave the people, they will take over. They will go against you. They will say, we don't need you. They like men. They are 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 men. It's a man you send. So you can't start a branch, start a church and just leave them. I would advise you to keep the people with you, at least under your eyes, they are there. Because you realize you will lose everybody. You will lose your valuable people. You will lose the financiers of your church. Though the financiers of your church and other people, they may move to that other branch where you said it's all the same thing, but they find out that it's not the same thing. When you go, they will speak to them, win their hearts, and they will turn against the original pastor. They will tell you, see how he is. His wife is like this. He himself is like this, this and that. He's using money. He's doing this. It just comes normal. It's normal. So if you want people to obey you from afar, you have to teach them the laws and the principles and the teachings that are in the Bible. No, don't teach anything to control people. No. You know, there are people who want me to come to their churches to control their members for them. It's true. People want to invite me to come so that I will say things and I will really, you know, say things against orangus and people who are destroyed in the church. I can never do that for you. Although I may say things, you may think but look, when it comes to getting your church to conduct themselves in a set, it's up to the pastor. The strong leadership of the pastor. Yes. Otherwise, you will have Benny Hinn in your church and they won't even bother to come. They will not follow what you are saying. They will turn, your best friend will turn against you. You must know how human beings are. Otherwise, you are joking with fire. Look, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus did not trust himself to man because he knew what was in man. He knew what was in man. It's like, you are a man, I know what is in you. That's why I prefer, look at this. He knew all men. He did not commit himself. He knew you are a man. He knew. Change the version. He probably says something different. He knew how untrustworthy they were. You can't trust men. He knew them inside out. I know you inside out. I can't trust you. Even Peter could not be trusted. Peter could not. All the disciples could not be trusted. Judas could not be trusted. I mean, think about it. Not even one person. It was Mary Magdalene, who you even discount. She's the one who was standing there. She stood by the cross. This is my savior. She stood. No wonder Jesus appeared to her. Forget about this Peter. Now they didn't appear to any of them. They have to believe by faith. Believe by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. But for Mary Magdalene, he appeared in a real way. The gardener, she thought it was the gardener because it was a vision. It was a three-dimensional vision. She saw Jesus real. That's what Peter, he just bypassed the head of the church and all this away with you guys. I'm coming to this woman. So brothers and sisters, teach on loyalty and don't despise. Learn it. And all of you pastors and bishops and whoever, don't think you know it. Because really, you don't really know it so well. Loyalty. Those who pretend. Like men. Hosea 6:7. They, like men, have transgressed the covenant and have dealt treacherously. Those who leave. You know how your church should be. If somebody is leaving, he will leave alone. Nobody will follow him. When a person will say, hey, you are in stage 3 disloyalty. What you are doing in stage 3? That's how our churches should be. As soon as you start, this is stage 4. This is stage 4. You are in stage 4. I just read about you. You are right in this book here. Do you know you are in this book? You are just like men. You are behaving like a man. An untrained man. A man who has not been schooled. Just like Dr. Ogo was saying, you don't become a doctor by breathing in and out. You become a doctor by being trained for 7 years. Teachings upon teachings, exams upon exams. Then you change and become a doctor. So you don't become a loyal person by just being the, I'm loyal. Receive loyalty. Take it one, take it two, take it three, take it now, it's flowing at the back, take it, it's coming to the back. You are loyal from today, you are declared loyal by the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost power. There's nothing like that. Loyalty cannot be received. By shouting and screaming. Those who accuse you. I cannot come to this church or any church. When I say this church, it's just the building. Because most of the people here are not from this church. I cannot come to any church and make them stop accusing. A strong leader has to stop this voice by teaching. The strength by teaching. After the loyalty book, every single one is a camp. There is no loyalty message that is not a camp message. There are camps I've been holding with my church people for years. For years. Camps. Wow. Some of the things I wrote, I wrote everything, but I'm saying some of the things are writing without preaching, but almost everything is preaching. That's it. You have to take time, number one, number two, number three, like I'm doing now. It takes time, it takes hours, it takes a long time. So it's all, people see me and say, we're inviting him to preach. We hear that he likes preaching for a long time. So we are going to let him start at 9 o'clock to 5. It's not that I like preaching for a long time. There are many points which you need to go through all the points. It's not that I want to preach for a long time. I like talking. I also like resting. You cannot just turn into loyal or silence accused. You cannot bring me to make your church conform. I can help, but you as a lead, strong leader, must develop how to make people obey you. Even when you are not present, they will not talk about you. Like you are not with them. They can't say anything. They can't. No, they can't. Say, they won't. You are not like. One person came into the midst of our church. He was from another church. After some time, he came to me. He said something. He said, your church is airtight. I said, what do you mean by airtight? He said, nobody speaks in a casual, like, funny comments. Because he was from another church. He was new. He said, it's airtight. You say something, say, ah, what, pardon? What did you say? Where were you trained? Who's your pastor? You get a north wind straight away. The hardness of standing with the leaders and talking to them about those accusations and the effect of accusations and how to shut up and rather pray for the pastor rather than accusing him of things. Huh? You are the only one who can do it. You cannot employ me to come to your church to fight with the people. They will just hate me. There are many churches where the people don't like me, but the pastor likes me. And the pastor, he wants me to come again. But the people, they don't like me. And the other leaders, they don't like me. Many. I know it. I went to a church once. I finished preaching. The assistant pastor would come and shake my hand. Oh, thank you. But it was those who pretend. He was pretending. And he went and told the senior pastor, why is he preaching about loyalty? I preach again. He always would come and shake me. But it was those who pretend. And then afterwards he would go and say, who told him we are quarreling? And then I preach again. Then he'll come again. Say whatever. And then throw my book on the floor. Somebody who shook my hand and told me, thank you, sir, we were blessed. You have thrown my book on the floor and stamped on the book for it to disappear. After saying thank you, those who pretend. Such people, it's only the pastor who can wipe out those people. Yes. Dangerous sons. Yeah. You cannot employ me to wipe out. You see, it's like saying the crime in South Africa. Britain is coming to wipe out crime in South Africa. Britain should come and wipe out crime in South Africa. Or America should come and wipe out crime in South Africa. It will never happen. The very government, if they were to rise up, you can park your car here. It will not, last time we had ISR, somebody drove, parked his car here. When he went outside, his car was gone. For coming to the conference. But there are places. You know, one day I met a certain brother. He told me he stays in a certain part of Ghana. He said, where we stay, you can park your car and leave the keys. They don't steal so many cars. You can park your car, leave it open, everything in your house. You don't have to lock anything. I said, really? I said, well, I said, oh, everybody has a gun in that area. Everybody has a gun in that area. He told me there is no armed robbery in that area because they have so much armed robbery that everybody rose up to wipe it out. Fire for fire. Nobody can come. You see, that's what I'm talking about, being strong. Nobody can come to your situation your setup to make them, all of you come here, all of you do this, pay tithes, come to church, come for this meeting, come to this conference. Nobody can come from an external point of view and do anything like that. It takes your own strength to rise up and do it. I'm sorry. It can help. But of course, if the people listen to podcasts, it will help what you are saying to go better. But that's about it. You have to write the responsibility. It's yours. One of the chapters out of leadership, take responsibility, take charge, take responsibility. So teach it. Teach ignorance. Ignorance is very dangerous. You should see ignorant people all over the world. Let us be in charge. We can do it. We can do it ourselves. We have a right to manage or mismanage. There's a famous speech in Ghana. We have a right to manage or mismanage our own affairs. That was the famous speech of our first president. We have a right to manage or mismanage our own affairs. And he was right. And we have mismanaged it for 60 years. So you see people singing and chanting. We no go sit down again. We can do it ourselves. Nobody can tell us what to do. You can't tell us what to do again. You can't tell us. Tell someone you can't tell us what to do again. We no go sit down again. And when they come and sit on the throne, those who are ignorant, you see that they don't know anything about what they are doing. Go to Zimbabwe and see. 36 years. 36 years. I'll tell you, Zimbabwe is nicer than South Africa. Maybe you don't know. Because you are. Zimbabwe is nicer than South Africa. Wow. It's a wonderful country. Give us the farms. We can run it ourselves. I've driven all over Zimbabwe. I didn't see any, I saw bushes. Just as we have in Ghana. We have bush. If you drive between Accra and most cities, it's bushes, forest, bush, like that. It's become like that, Zimbabwe. Is it not true in Zimbabwe? Zimbabweans, is it true or not? Yeah. Bush. Grass. Cows on the road, dead on the roadside. Grass. Bush. Yeah. Give us our currency. We can run a bank. We can run a currency. And they printed 10 billion, 1 million. Now you think it's a joke, oh? But it's serious. There was a manager in the bank, oh, who was printing it. 10 trillion. Trillion dollars to buy one loaf of bread. Huh? Tell the truth. Zillion. What is zillion?
More than trillion.
1 zillion. And there was somebody who went to school. 20 days old. As a currency. Now, where people have currencies, good currencies, they rarely print above 100. Because it brings so much inflation. So the British pound, they've never printed more than 50 pound notes. It's a very bad thing to increase the currency, the amount in one note. So they don't do it. It's so completely against economics. 50 pounds is the highest pound note you can ever find. There's nothing like 100 pounds. Dollar has never gone beyond 100. We printed billions, millions, 1 million, 10 million, 100 million, trillion, billion. I mean, it's a joke, but it was a real currency. So there are people who sit down in churches. You see me preaching and you sit there and you criticize. You see me doing a crusade. Look, oh, this is not a good crusade. This is not this. You see a miracle. Say, oh, these are not miracles. This and that. And you sit down and you be criticizing. We do our own thing. We can do our own thing. This is not a man of God. This is a miracle. This is not a miracle. These are just psychosomatic expressions of symptomatic changes. Is this preaching? People criticize the preacher. He's not preaching. He's just talking. This is not preaching. He's talking. Is it preaching? This preaching, then I can also preach. He's preaching basics. You sit there, you just talk like an idiot. Or in Italian, idioti. Idioti. You are ignorant and you have to preach sense into those who are ignorant. Before you realize they are taking over what they cannot manage. They are doing what they cannot do. And you see a pastor standing behind that pulpit, you think I can do it? He just opened John 4, John 3, and John 17. And he preaches. So I can do it also. Try it and see. When a goat is sweating, you cannot see that he's sweating. He sweats inside. So you can't see that he's sweating. Although he's sweating, you see the goat walking, but he's hot. Don't know the stress he's under. Have you seen a goat sweating before? But they sweat also. How do they sweat? People laugh at me. Oh, they've laughed at me all my ministry. I'm watching them. When Bishop Starkey started the Kadesh, there's no road in that area. I was like, what type of place is this? How far is this place? Idiote. Italian. When you are saying idiot, speak Italian. Idiote. At least you know one Italian word. Idiote. You don't know much. So you need to watch out for those who are ignorant. And we need to teach. Look, when I started having camps, originally I thought I would organize camp for prayer. I tell you, you have prayerful idiots. If you don't teach them the word of God. Yes, if you don't teach them, you have prayerful idiots. Very dangerous. Idiots who are fasting. They've been fasting for 21 days of idiotism. Empowering idiotism. Ideology. So, you know, I just found myself having camp and teach. There was no time. Teach. Then I started to notice the effect of teaching a lot at the camp. Start from morning. I start at 6. I end at midnight. Yeah, I can preach 15 hours in one day. People will be sitting there. They'll be sitting there. And I will teach them. The first thing I teach is how to behave at the camp. Hey! No, if I leave them, they will be treacherous. I have to teach them how to behave, when to go to toilet, when not to go to toilet, how not to sleep, what to do. These are different things. And you have to be reasonable. So I provide coffee for them to drink. Yes. So they can obey me gladly. And as the years go by, you see that the people you are pastoring are a nicer group of people who obey you gladly. And when you are not present with them, they are still obeying you. No, nobody in this country should have members who can, you cannot make them do what you want to do. If you see that your people are not, so okay, say no problem. I know what I will do to you. I will teach you, you see. Evil people have used this principle. Hitler used this. You see, when Hitler came to power, he came to power in 1933, not 1939. You see, the Second World War was from 1939 to 1945. 1st September, 4:45 in the morning was the Second World War. But Hitler became the chancellor, like the woman, Merkel. He became the chancellor in 1933. And he hated Jews from the beginning. So when he came into power, he made a first move against Jews. It did not go well at all. People didn't like that. No, because the Jews are everywhere. 6,000 lawyers in Berlin only. Berlin. 6,000 lawyers. Every business, every financial thing, they are everywhere. So the attack on the Jews, people didn't like it. Everybody was either married to a Jew, knew a Jew, somebody, they were everywhere. So he started on a program to train the German people. Yes. And you see, Hitler was one leader who gives speeches. My mother, you know, sometimes I'll show her Hitler. She says she cannot, even the voice, she cannot, she doesn't want to hear the voice. She was a child. The voice of Hitler. She said, no. She said he was on the radio all the speeches, talking. He talked and trained the people. He trained slowly from 1933 up to 1939. Teaching, talking, how Germans are a superior race. He made museums to show it's the survival of the fittest. The fittest people are those who have to survive, and the fittest and the best are Germans. And he used the height, so his security force was made up of a certain height, a certain type, blue eyes, blonde hair, a certain height. They call the pure Aryan race. Yeah. He taught them systematically. He couldn't have done it. He tried and it didn't work. You see, most of the thing you try to let the people, it won't work. If you just come to a church, big church, try to learn, hey, all of you do, it won't work. You will need to teach them, and you need to teach directly for the people to get it. And then implement it and show them your powers. Gradually. He did it, gradually. And then, he started his war. Then when he came into power, he said, I'm a man who has suffered in war. I was a corporal. He had a medal for bravery under fire. Bravery under fire. He said, I've suffered. I will never start a war. I don't believe in war. I was a soldier. I will suffer blindness, these different things in the war. I'll never start a war. All were lies. Man is lies. When you see a man is lies. Most of the politicians are always telling lies. But he trained them. And he led the German society to extinguish the lives of 6 million Jews. Willingly. They did it willingly. They arrested them and put them in concentration camps in Poland, in Germany, everywhere. They extinguished them with gas. So they tried shooting them at first, and the soldiers could not stand the shooting. When they shoot them, pop, 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 so many. And the German soldiers at the point were not happy. So they tried to think what they call the final solution. And they invented this gas. So let's use the gas. They did it. They would kill 10,000 a day. 10,000 a day. 10,000. And they were burning them. The smoke was into the sky. The Americans and British, they could see the smoke coming in the sky where they were burning the people. Every day they burned 10,000, 10,000, 10,000, 10,000. Can you imagine 10,000 people being burnt every day? But he did it. All the people complied. Germans, women, men. There was a woman called the Bitch of Buchenwald. Oh, she would ride around in her horse. When she sees you with a tattoo or something on the skin, and she'll whip you, then take this guy. She would have sex with them. Then she'd take the skin and use the skin to make lampshades, to make tables, to make, different things. She used the skin of Jews. Yes. People were doing, that's why there was a trial after. Because it was not only one man who did. Hitler himself dissociated. He realized that he must never associate himself with that thing. So he distanced himself from it and used the people. So the German people were trained to hate Jews. They were taught it is our problem at these people. And they did it. So it's about teaching. So I'm sorry to use such an example, but I'm telling you, you as a pastor, you cannot get your people to do much. If you teach the whole church. This meeting is not for just 200 and there are only 250 people from Grace Bible Church here. 258 registered are here. The rest are from elsewhere. But this church has thousands of people. There are only 258 people here from Grace Bible Church. This meeting is not just for whatever. The whole church needs to hear things, to be made to go in a certain way. It's not for just three people. Many of us need to know these are things that need to change. Otherwise, the people become like a large flock of 10-year-olds. Can you send 10-year-olds to war? No. But if you have 10 men who are armed like Rambo, you can do more than 10,000 10-year-old children. Yes. So if you want people to obey you when you are not present, you must teach them loyalty. And study it yourself and know it. Are you still there or you are leaving? Yeah. Check your neighbor's temperature and see whether he's okay. Number three, teach people, and I'm going to run through this so that I can do something else. Teach people that they are dealing with God. When people know they are dealing with God, they know that it's not you. If you are somewhere and you are sitting in your church, it's not me you are dealing with. You are dealing with God. When you know that you are dealing with God, you know how to behave over there. Yes. Teach them you are dealing with God. When you speak against me, you are speaking against God. Teach them. And they'll be afraid to talk in a funny way. And number four, look for signs and symptoms. Symptoms and signs. Symptoms and signs of things. Now, when you are a leader and people are far away from you, do you think you are going to know everything? No, you have to be a master of symptoms and signs. Amen. You must be a master of what? Symptoms and signs. Amen. Chapter 97. Use symptoms to guide you. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God has given riches and given him power to eat thereof and take his portion. This is the gift of God. Now, notice that word. Behold that which I have seen. Amen. Let me give you the points and then I'll just talk about. Use symptoms and signs to detect loyalty. What you see. Disloyalty. There are signs of disloyalty. 39 signs of disloyalty in the book, Loyalty and Disloyalty. Number two, use symptoms and signs to detect familiarity. When somebody is becoming familiar. You see, anybody who is rude to you, who is sharp with you, who speaks in a off tone, is familiar. You shouldn't speak that way. There are signs. Nobody's going to stand and say, I am disloyal. Catch me. There's nothing like that. Familiarity is different from disloyalty. It's a type of disloyalty. Number three, use symptoms and signs to detect backsliding. I have a book called Backsliding. Doctor, find for me. Please. Number four, use symptoms and signs to detect unforgiveness. I have a little book called Forgiveness Made Easy. In it, I have signs of lingering unforgiveness. In this book, Backsliding, I have symptoms and signs of backsliding. Number five, use signs and symptoms to supervise employees. Number six, use symptoms and signs to uncover future leaders. Who are the future leaders? Use symptoms and signs to detect the call of God on people's lives. Amen. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul outlined the symptoms to look for when you want to get a leader. You should have a husband or one wife, shouldn't fight, shouldn't drink, shouldn't this, so many things. Those are the signs to look for in somebody who wants to become a future pastor. Use symptoms and signs to detect the call of God. The greatest sign for detecting the call of God to me is the desire. He says, if anyone desires the work of the bishop, then look for these signs. So the desire in you to work for God is the greatest sign to me of the call of God on your life. How many have a desire to work for God? That desire is the sign. Use symptoms and signs in your ministry. Then you can make people obey you when you are not present with them. All right? So you need to look for signs. What do you think? Symptoms. You know, when I preach, I always look at people's faces. That's what keeps me preaching. If there's a change in the mood of the congregation, I can see it. And I'll end. That's why I preached yesterday, I continued preaching. Because the people were still with me. As soon as the people are no more with me, finish. I end. I can't preach to tired people who don't, not even tired, they are not interested in what I'm saying. So watch out for the symptoms and the signs. Wow. What is a symptom? Now, if I take this young lady here, I can never see her liver. Your liver is hidden. Your kidney is hidden. Your pancreas is hidden. These are all important organs. But I can know something about it from a sign that I look at. I can look at your fingers and I'll know something about your liver. Yes. Actually, when somebody has liver failure of the liver, there's a sign. You hold the hand like this and watch it. If it goes like this, it's failing. Hepatic flap. Just so you ask, what is the connection between this and the liver? If you are trained, you notice the signs. And you will know when you see somebody and you know that this person is a certain way. Yes. So you must become a master of detecting signs. Yes. Memory is a bad sign. When people talk undertone. What did you say? Oh, nothing. Don't say nothing. Everybody is happy. I look at people's faces. You go to churches, you can see the people, the response of the people. You know, if you preach a lot, there are so many symptoms and signs you see. They are all indicators. Usually where I preach, the pastor's wives usually like me. The wife of the pastor usually likes me. It's a symptom. There are places you go, the pastor's wife will not even come. You'll be there 5 days, she will not appear. It's a sign. Are you want to see a placard or a banner? The wife is in the house, you will not appear. You are there for 5 days. I went to preach somewhere one day. You know, when I, from the pulpit, like the door here, so the car was outside. When I got into the car and I sat down, I said, I won't come to this church again. Yes, I said, I won't come here again. Even if they invite me, I won't come here again. Then after the pastor came with an envelope, so, oh, thank you. I also, those who pretend, I also became a whatever. And as the years went by, exactly what I thought. One day somebody confronted the pastor and said, "What is in your mind? What is in your mind?" It was real. I didn't even have to open the offering. Sometimes the offering itself will tell you, it will shout. The offering will shout at you. It's true. It's not even the amount. But sometimes the amount also speaks. It tells you so many things. They're all symptoms. Nobody is going to bring a banner and start showing you something. True. You see your people. There's no smile. A smile is a sign. When Cain, Abel's offering was presented and God received it, Cain's countenance fell. Countenance is an old word for face. Always watch faces. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep, not feed my giraffes." Giraffes are above the face. So look at the people and feed them. Feed the sheep. Don't go. A smile. Look at the people. Are they smile? You never smile. You don't clap. You don't say amen. Everybody's happy except you. Like, and you, the people stand out. They stand out like it's like an island in the midst of happiness, an island of sadness. An island of rejection, not you, in Jesus' name. An island of depression, in Jesus' name, never will happen to you. Eesh. You don't need much to see. One pastor, you know, I met him. He used to criticize me before about loyalty till he experienced it fully. Then he told me, "I am wilder than you now." I said, "Really?" He said, one day I came to church and one of the pastor's wives was sitting there with her face very... as if she's drunk vinegar. In Ghana, he was telling me. He told me, I'm wilder than you. You are wilder than me. He said, I went to her during the service. I said, get up. Get up. To the back. You cannot sit here with this face and come and control the whole environment in the front of the church. To the back. The chairs at the back. You can't sit here and control the environment here with your attitude and your face. He told me, I'm wilder than you now. Because I've never done anything like that before. When I see people with this vinegar face, I don't mind them. I just go and preach at another section. He walked her out to the back. Yes. There are many symptoms. When a person stops paying tithes, it's a sign. Often it's a sign of disloyalty. He's no longer with you. A pastor who doesn't pay tithe. If you are a pastor in this church, you don't pay tithe. It's a bad sign. Your disloyalty is clear. All pastors and leaders should have their tithes recorded clearly. And as soon as you don't pay tithes, it should come up as a red sign. And you should be removed from the pastorate if you don't pay tithes. Because you are not a committed member. It's something we are asking even members to do. Look, no one can do this for you. If you are the leader, it's up to you to be strong. That's why I said, only be strong. You know, it takes strength to confront people on symptoms. Because it's like there's nothing substantial but just symptoms. But me, I go by symptoms. I go by symptoms. I have to go by symptoms because I'm not present always. When I see one little mouse, I know there are 20. 20. One mouse means 20 mice. One rat means 20 rats. You don't need to see all 20. Just one is enough. Then you know that there are more. Hey! Are you still around or you are leaving? Check your neighbor's temperature to see whether he's okay. He's still okay? Still alive? Tell the person, I'm watching your signs, I'm watching symptoms, and I'm watching various things about you. You cannot get away any longer. I'm watching. When you do that, when somebody is not at a meeting, it's a symptom. You know, when I was in South Africa for the Crusades, one day I called Bishop Clovio. I mentioned, I said, you see this pastor, I'm in South Africa for 1 year having Crusades. I've not seen them. And people who have their own churches, big ministries and so on, like Bishop Bosa, I would travel to Mokopane, travel to Seboke, travel to Nkowankowa to come and sit there at a Crusade. You are a pastor in Johannesburg. You are a pastor. I have never spotted your face. And you are a pastor in the church. Is it not a sign I should follow? One rat means how many rats? 20 rats. I called him. I said, you see now? Then there's another sign I'll show you. People who come to what we call mark register. Like they just want to show that they are there. But they are not really there. Sometimes I'll be in my car. Some people want to come. They want to show that, you know, like when you go to a funeral and you want to show the person that you came. So you try and make your face. Yeah, I'm here. I came. Or a wedding. You want them to see that you came. But you are not really there. Your heart was not there. Marking register. Marking the register. There are people who maybe they're supposed to be at this conference and supposed to be here from yesterday throughout the day, today throughout the day. They will not come. Then they will come around and then they will just come to the front. And say, it's what we call marking the register. They are marking the register that they came. But they were not really here. Have not benefited. It's just marking register size. It's a bad sign. So you see, because they know that when you don't see them, it's a sign. So now they just come to mark register. But that one too, we've seen it. We've seen that it's also marking of register. It's also a sign. Now, in medicine, look, the way I learned medicine, and at that time there was not so many gadgets. You can look at a woman and know that she's pregnant. There's a sign. There are different signs on her body. So this one, it means you are pregnant. This one, you are pregnant. This one, you are pregnant. No lab test. No lab test. Science. Sometimes I'm in a church and I look at people and say, this one has diabetes. This one has this. This one has this. I know. Sometimes I look at people and say, this one doesn't have sex often. I don't have sex often. I tell you, you don't know. You are not trained. You are not trained. If you are trained, you will notice many things. That's what Solomon said. He said, behold, what I have seen. What I have seen. I've seen it under the sun. It's an observation I've made. Yes. Sometimes I see ladies, and I saw this one, she doesn't know how to cook. I'll just look at her, and I know. I'll not tell you the sign. It's a sign that I'm using. Sometimes somebody will greet me smiling. Oh, hello, how is it done? I immediately know that she has a bad character. Yes. I immediately know. She's got a very bad character. Yes. So you need to be trained. So when you go through the book Loyalty and Dislike, you see signs. And different things you see. Those who forget. You forgot to say thank you. Something great was done for you. See, I was standing, I was preaching, I told Musa, thank you for inviting me to South Africa, whatever. People don't remember anything. This is my friend Reverend Steve. One day he had this big, wonderful cast, one of these Land Cruisers and so on. He came to me, he said, many years ago, you gave me a car. So at that time, he didn't have a car. He said, many years ago, you gave me a car. God has blessed me. I have a car, but I want you to be the first person to see the car that I have and pray over the car. You see, I said that this is a sign. This type of people, they remember. Some say, oh, but that car, it was not any new car. It was not any special car. I mean, what is a car? I mean, it's nothing. But that's how he is. That's how he is. You talk about Bishop Duncan William. He put a plaque in his church of Bishop Duncan William. He said, it's there. All those who don't like it, I don't care. He's the one who dedicated. I honor him till forever in my church. Why? Because when he was a singer, he and his brother, they are twins. When you don't know who is who. After some time, you know who is who. But initially, you don't know. He said, he used to call them. Call the twins. called the twins. They used to sing a song. Oh, Kuraya, oh, Kuraya. They had a song they were singing. He said, call the twins to come and sit with me. Come, call them. He says, wife. And he will tell me. His wife, me, his wife, his children, and the twins. Come sit with him. He said, who am I? I have become half a church, and so what? I should forget the man who used to call me, who used to look up to say good things, pray for us. He showed me my land to my church. He showed, there are people, don't forget, those are the type of, it's a sign. When I came to Bishop Moser, he took me to Ray McCauley. He was a Ray McCauley who come here. He always honor Ray McCauley. It's a sign. There are some people, when you meet them, also I came from the sky. I said, God sent me. I'm Elijah. I've come from God. God raised me up from the dead. He sent me to the world. And all these type of messages, they are all bad signs. There are people, they don't remember anything, whatever. It's like, oh, but that's nothing. I would have been here. I would have come to South Africa anyway. I'd have come to South Africa. What is South Africa? I would have been here anyway. I've been to South Africa 100 times. What is South Africa? No! That's not how I think. It's one of the highlights of my life that I came to this church. That time there was no building. There was nothing. But to me, it's a highlight of my journey in my ministry. And my friendship with him. There's nothing, I don't know anything that can spoil those things. And every time I preach in the church, I'm always fighting for the church. If you hear, you hear it. Yeah. You know, I saw a pastor one day, he went to preach somewhere. And he was not, I've seen that his ministry was not going to a certain point. And I knew the type of preaching that he preaches. I said, when you go to a place to preach, you want to perform and do well. See, that's not a good aim. It's not a good aim. When you go to a place, try to help the church that you went to. Try to let the church be more stable and better after you leave. The church is better. The pastor is finding it easier. Don't try to perform. Don't try to be great. I never tried to be great in any whatever. No. And I know many times I preach, I see that even the leaders, they don't like me. The senior pastor, but I don't care. I don't care. The last time I preached at Archbishop's Church, he said I should come. It was either his birthday or something. I said, I will be there. I will be there. And I went and I preached. About fathers. And I said, I gave them a scripture. I said, I have not a devil because I honor my father. That was the message. I have not a devil because I honor my father. That's it. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my father. I preach to all the devils in the church. Tell you. Oh yeah. It's devils that don't honor their fathers. Yes. When my friend Reverend Steve was honoring an archbishop, some people were against it. He said, until I die forever, this plaque will be at the front of the church. Forever. He said, I never had a land. I never had anyone was in the canteen. He brought me in the night and showed me, said, Steve, this is a land. This is a land. That's it. A person who forgets, you don't do well. You can notice. You meet a girl, she doesn't like her father. A girl, like let's say a young girl, maybe she's 16, 18, she doesn't like her father. And my father is this is a bad sign. You're not going to do well. I'm always afraid of girls who don't like their fathers. Yeah. It's an accursed person. You don't like your father. I have not a devil. I honor my father. I have not a devil. Check the temperature for your neighbor. chapter 86. Chapter 86. How many are enjoying the book Art of Leadership? Yes, there are many things in the book. You may not know. Reproduce yourself in others. Thou therefore, my son. Now, Jesus, the perfect leader, was constantly preparing his disciples for the time that he will no longer be with them. John 16, 16. A little while, and you shall not see me. Tell your neighbor, a little while, you shall not see me. Hey! How true that is. A little while, and ye shall not see me. You see how I was preaching, and I called Dr. Ogo. I didn't even tell him what to do. I just gave him the microphone. Once you heard what I said, you should know what to say. I don't have to say that. Explain to you. Listen, I now want you to go through the following points, okay? This is very important. You should be able to leave your church in and out seamlessly without a struggle. As soon as you step out, everybody knows what to do. What is there? A little while, you shall not see me. It's a fact for all of us. 40 years from now, most of the people here will not be alive. 40 years. Add 40 to your age. Check it. Do some small maths. 40 plus. 40 plus. You see, some of you think Jesus is coming next year. But Jesus may come in 500 years from now. Yeah. Jesus may not come for another 500 years. By that time, maybe cars may be flying. If you have a car, it normally flies. And there may be traffic lights on the ground and in the air. When you get your traffic light, you stop. Cars on the ground and those above. And you talk about those who used to only drive on the ground. So it's normally we just fly and no traffic is faster. 500 years from now. Yeah. And all will be gone. So we need to reproduce sons. One of the sad things that I found going around churches, pastors. Shall I tell you? Yes. Are you sure? Yes. Will you be offended? No. You don't want a controversy with the Lord? Hosea 4:1. I have a controversy. You don't have truth. Listen. One of the sad things I've noticed when I walk around, most of the pastors look old. Old. Pastors look old and tired. True. Few young pastors. So God wants young men to be pastors. Now, Numbers 4, Numbers 8, scripture tells us from the age of 25 or from the age of 30 up to 50, you shall minister. After that, it's a consultant. So I'm actually past that. So I'm doing extra time in ministry. Now, it's also confirmed biologically. Most women by the age of 50 and many before they stop having their monthly cycles. It's finished. It shows that the fertile, like the purpose for which you came to the world to bring children, is finished. By 50, it's over. Your purpose is over. What a shock. So, you can see that 50 is a strong marker. And 25 is a strong, 25 is the peak of your fertility. Your highest sperm count, pregnancy, everything peak in 50, 25. And then it starts to gradually drop. Are you still there? So we need a lot of young people from the age of 25. I became a pastor, I was 25. And by 30, they should be well streaming in your ministry. Well streaming in your ministry. So if you don't have 30-year-olds, that's why my son, I don't know how old he is, 24 or 25. How old is he? 25? Yes. He's 25. I leave him there. He said, preach. And all the other, they are a team together. But 25. I'm waiting for Bishop Saki's son is coming. And all the pastor's children, they are very special to me. I treat pastor's children specially, without apologies. Yes. Yes. If you have a son, it will be special to me. Yes. Or a daughter too. For daughters, I'll look for husbands for them. We need. Look, I've been to so many towns in South Africa. And not only South Africa, Zimbabwe. All the pastors are old. Old. Yes, old. Tired looking. Look, let's tell the truth. You can see when you look. Can't you see when somebody looks older and tired? And you can see. Where are our 25-year-old to 30-year-old? By 30, you must be in full scale of ministry. Like 30, you are full. So in this church, I need to see some 30s who are ready to take over. Not this, not people who are not deep. You see, it's easy to stand there and say, I can preach in this pulpit. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than that. You know, so we need to reproduce ourselves. So those of you, you know, one of the topics here is make the most of every opportunity you have with a great person. When you are with a great person. That's what people are not making the most of. So how can you make, reproduce yourself in others? I'm going to give you the points. Easy. Number one, be a father. Amen. Number two, be a teacher. Number three, be a friend. Number four, expose them to the challenges of ministry. Number five, send them into the ministry. Number six, yeah, that's only five. Did you get it? Number one is what? Be a father. Now, what is a father? A father, a little difference between a father and a teacher is that a father is someone who has the aim of producing someone, and the presence of the person is precious to the person. You get it? Like many people who become fathers intended to be fathers. They were trying to be fathers and it worked. and they are trying to bring up people. Now, there are two types of pastors. Pastors with father's heart and pastors without. Pastors without don't have children. You see, a man is not a father because he's a man. I became a father when I had a child. Then I was transformed into a father. And being old does not mean you are a father. There are old men who don't have children. Age doesn't make you a father. So being a father is not because you are old. I'm old, I have gray hair, so I'm a father too. A father is seen by the products. So when you see Dr. Go, I officiated his wedding. I appointed him as a pastor, counseled him, officiated his wedding, appointed him as a pastor, ordained him, made him a bishop, transferred him, go here, go here, go. All these things, I say, send them to the challenges, talk to them. A father is supposed to talk to them. I'm talking to him all the time. Do this. At least he wants to listen to it. He hears it. Yes. So we don't have replacements for ourselves. Yes. You see, but you see, a father wants it. Not that he wants to perform and he wants to preach and he wants. I'm happy to, all my bishops, I've made them, they have these conferences though. What's the name of your conference called? Art of Shepherding Conference. Apart from this conference, I tell them, I want them to be as whatever I'm doing, they can do and they do great things. Oh yeah, yeah. So, he has his own conference. His own cathedral. Yeah, yeah. He wants it. He wants them to be great. Don't you want your real, if you are really the father, that, oh, that's my son. Yes. Donald Trump's daughter is a billionaire. Yeah, she's a billionaire. He's a child. So you can see that he's from here. Although he's much younger, he's from here. This is my Lawrence and Linda in Zimbabwe. I want him to be great. I want him to be great. I'll be so happy if he's great. I want him to be great. I want to have his own building.
Amen.
That's why I sent him. I said, come, you send them. You expose them to child. I brought him to Ghana. I stayed with us in Ghana for, he never thought he would go back to Zimbabwe. Then one day I said, go. He was surprised. It was a shock. Yeah. I want them to be great. Now, people don't want people to be great. They want to be great. I'm the man. You the man. I'm the powerhouse man. The anointing is on me. You see, so there are people who are like fathers and there are people who are just powerful. So Elijah was a father. He had that spirit. So that's why he produced Elisha. He was just like him. But Elisha was not a father spirit. He didn't have a father spirit at all. When Gehazi made a mistake, he just cursed. He just said, hey, you can't make that mistake. I curse you, leprosy, sickness, diseases come upon you. No second chance. You are finished. I don't easily give up my pastors. No matter what the mistake they do. No, not me. Yeah. One day I had a pastor, he went and got himself in some difficulty. I went to the church and I told the church, sit here, and I put a pastor behind me. And I said, you wicked eyes, which of you has not sinned before to throw the first stone? If you like, touch. And I poured water on all of them in the spirit and the fire went out. That was the end. And after that, I took him. I said, come. Let me take you away from here. I saved him from that place and from where he has made his mess. Yes, you don't give up people. You give up people. You don't have anybody left. You give up people, you don't have anyone left. You'll be left with nobody. Look, Elisha, some children were laughing at his hairstyle. Right? He just cursed 42 of them. He cursed them. All of you die, 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 die. 42 children. Look at it. 42. He tore the 40 and two. Two she-bears came out and tore them up. A mistake for these children for laughing when they shouldn't have laughed was the end of their life. A mistake of Gehazi to go and ask for some small money to help his marriage. He was going to do some lobola to get married. He went and asked for some. That was the end of his life, his ministry. Leprosy is like cancer. It's like, may you have cancer of the head of the pancreas, cancer of the liver, primary liver cell carcinoma, and cancer of the stomach. Hey. These were the words of Elisha. Combination cancers. You don't do that. So I gave you the points. Father them. Teach them. Talk. Teaching. Always teaching. Teach people in small groups and one to one. That's why you don't have anybody. You think they will absorb it by osmosis. Some of the things is not by osmosis. You have to say it. One day I was not at a meeting and somebody came and we had a round place that we sit. And then one of them was sitting where I was sitting. I usually sit, but I was late. So he was sitting where, and he was actually conducting the meeting. So I told him, when I'm not here, don't sit here. Okay. I didn't curse him. I just told him, don't sit in my chair. Even at the Kodesh where I'm not there, I have my chair there. Don't sit there. Even if you are taking pictures, don't sit on the chair to take pictures. How old are you? 48. Where's your 30-year-old who is streaming? Where's your 30-year-old? Streaming. You see, you people, you are coming to make the same mistake that John Wesley made. He timed John Fletcher to be the one to take over him. Because Charles Wesley died before him. Charles Wesley died 3 years before. He couldn't even get to Charles Wesley's funeral. You know, they didn't have mortuaries and whatever. So he couldn't get there. So Charles Wesley was buried. Then he came there some days later and had a service. And then, whilst he was standing in the pulpit, then he just broke down and just wept for his brother. He just broke down in the pulpit and just cried. And they sang his brother's songs. All these, how sweet the name of Jesus, and they are all Charles Wesley. He just broke down. So his brother couldn't take over. And his brother had a good marriage, so he was always in the house receiving Italian massages and Spanish, what do you call it? Then he booked John Fletcher, who was 6 years. So like Dr. Goh is like six, I'm sure it's about 6 years younger. So it's like, that's like John Fletcher. Yeah. But unfortunately, John Fletcher died before. Because there's no way to tell who will go first. Yeah, nobody really knows who is going first. So you need to reproduce yourself, especially in the young. And you need to send them. Go here. I sent my son when he was in London. Go to Belgium and start a church. He went every week. He took train and bus and went to Belgium every week for years. Exposing him to the challenges of ministry. That's why I encourage some of you. Come to Ghana, some of you. Come to Bible school. Some of you, 1.5 years. Some of you, 3 years. Whatever. It's good for you. Or go to wherever. I'm not trying to get people to come. That's not what I, if I'm a, on a drive, I would even do an altar call. So all those God has spoken, I sense in my spirit, you are to come to God. Come to the front now. I sense the power. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm advising you, expose yourself to things. Young. Don't assume that you, like John Wesley, himself, his brother, they couldn't live on. No matter how good you are, can't stay. A little while you shall see me no more. And the one who thought he was younger, he also died before. But there were people in the system. That's why it's called John Wesley and the men who followed after. Yeah, wild people in America, it became a worldwide movement. It was too strong. So, reproduce yourself. Be a friend. Some of us, we are so high. You can't be friends. Oh, yes. Me, I'm friends with all the people I work with. If you are with me, you'll be my friend. Yes. Me, I like friendship. You can't be serious all the time. Tell your neighbor, you can't be serious all the time. And I heard that from Kenneth Hagin. He said, you can't be serious all the time. You need to be relaxed. Even if you are a prophet, you can't be serious all the time. But some of us don't know how to be friends. One day I heard somebody introducing him. So he said, Bishop Doug is my friend, and this and that is my friend. And I realized that his understanding of friendship was different from my understanding of friendship. Bishop Doug is my friend, and this is my friend. And I realized that how he understood friendship is not how. To me, friendship is not coming to preach in your church. Oh yes, there's more. Are you still in the church or you've left? We're going to go for lunch in a moment. But once we are still here, we are here. What can you do about it? And I'll be ending with this. Value every moment in the presence of a great leader. Chapter 111. That's it, and then we head out for lunch. I hear some people have to leave, but number one. John the disciple spoke of his interaction with Jesus. First John 1 verse 1. That which was from the beginning, we saw, we seen, we looked upon, our hands handled of the word of life. I always remember the handshake I had with Kenneth Hagin. My handshake with Hagin. Just one moment. I remember the handshake. John said he was from the beginning. We look our hands handled of the word of life. That's what. His moments with a great person were not wasted. Many of us waste our moments with a great person. Don't waste your moment. My Kenneth Hagin had a door in the church, the back. You go and then it's a whole world behind there. I remember shaking it. Every moment I've had with Benny Hinn, I remember. One night I was with Benny Hinn in somewhere, and when I got back to my room, I couldn't sleep. I took my notes and started and wrote all the notes of all the things that I've learned and seen throughout the night. Yes. It was so something to me, the whole meeting. People don't value. That's why you don't learn anything. John said, what we handled, we touched him. This is on the basis of that I'm sharing with you. We don't value moments. It doesn't even come out in your preaching. There are things to learn in every moment. Recently, I was in Brazil. I had special moments with Reinhard Bonnke. I knew he was going to preach. And I knew where he would come and where maybe he may sit. So I came early and I went to sit at where I suspected he may come to. And I was right. He came before. And when he came, he was wondering, is this the place? I said, this is where you are supposed to sit. Please have a seat. I was also a visitor, but I showed him where to sit. To sit by me. I showed him that he has to sit by me. I spent nothing less than 1 hour. Yes. With him. What a blessing. The first part was picture taking. And then after that, they actually asked us to come and eat. So I went to serve myself. And he also got something and we sat at the same table. Yes. Then he was talking. He said many things to me. And he told me something. He pointed to me. He said, do you know this person? I said, I know. He said, that's the key for your crusade. Then he told me, he said, I'll tell you something. And he said, I'll tell you something that happened to me in Singapore. And he told me, I will not tell you. I remember those moments. Precious moments. Then after that, we went to the church and he preached. He was so weak. He preached for 1 minute, then he fell back to the chair. Preached for 1 minute, fall back. And I could see that he couldn't last. So I positioned myself at the place I knew where he would come. I was there. I held him and helped him to go to the lift. Yes, there are special moments for me. And then I went into the lift with him. He was so weak he couldn't stand. We were four because we hold him. And I remember his eyes and he looked at me and he said, You understand, you are a doctor. Yeah. These are special moments. Precious. To learn something. You learn. But some people they don't learn anything. Is it brain failure or what is it? Scatter brain. Yeah. One of the videos I like watch is the funeral of Kenneth Hagin. Because great people who knew him personally all come and testify. And they all say what they learned. When they say, oh, me, I didn't learn any faith from Kenneth Hagin. I learned love. They say, when you are far, you will hear faith. When you are near, you will know love. All of them said the same thing. He said, no, doesn't talk about anybody, doesn't do this, doesn't do this, doesn't do that, doesn't do whatever. He said, love. When you get near, you will learn love. But those things you can't learn from far. When you hear the person, you may think hardness, this. But when you get close, you may see another thing. Values every moment. And there must be moments, if you are trying to father somebody, there must be times like that. People don't value those moments. That's why the moments come. That's why God will even give you that moment. You never have that moment. Because you don't value it. Even the weakness of somebody, you learn something from it. If your eyes are working well, you see that, hey, in spite of this problem, look at what he's doing. That's why God allows you to see weakness too, and problems. You see that, even the weakness, I learned this. So our number two, Elijah. Elisha refused to go away from the presence of Elijah. He valued the presence of Elijah. So John valued the presence of Elijah, and Elisha valued the presence of Elijah, and Joshua was also greatly blessed by being close. All right, and Joshua was so close that they were able to take him for prayer. In Exodus 24 and verse 13, Exodus 24 verse 13. All right, look at this. There are very few people whom you can go somewhere to pray with that they won't disturb you. Most people will disturb you. Their presence will disturb you. Their presence is contrary to your prayer time. That's why many ministers pray more when they travel away from home, because their home environment disturbs them. So they find themselves become more spiritual when they are on the road. Look at Joshua. Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. These two, he took Joshua to the top of the mountain. I'm going to pray. Come, I want you to be there. Whilst I have my personal time and Holy Ghost, wow, this is the Exodus. You know, this is when he said in 33, don't take your presence away if your presence does not go without. This is going with Joshua. He's going with Joshua. No wonder Joshua became Joshua. Yeah. Few people, some of your presence is even intrusive. You can even see. One day I went to a restaurant with somebody to eat. They brought the food. And I didn't like what they brought. So I told the person that, this is whatever, because I eat with my eye before I eat with my stomach. That's how I eat. I eat with my eyes first. So the person was sitting with me. When the waiter took the food, the person said, it seems you are fussy about food. So that is what the person is learning as you are sitting with. That's why I will not eat with everybody. Lest when I eat, you be making comments. It seems you like chicken, eh? It seems you like egg. This is the fourth egg you are eating. It seems you like Coca-Cola. This is about the ninth bottle of Coca-Cola you are drinking. Wow. Is it not amazing? What do you learn when you go near? You are not supposed to go and find faults and re-describe what you are seeing and learning. You are supposed to be learning something good. Every time I've been with Bishop Duncan Williams, close. When I get close, I say, this is a spiritual man. I tell you, you never know. When you are close, you say, hey, this is a spiritual man. He's almost a spirit. It's true. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't have classmates. Doesn't know anything. Only prayer. To him, everything is prayer. And he prayed at the President Trump's inauguration. Very powerful man. Did you see he's praying? He's praying for them. He's praying for Trump and whatever. All of the American cabinet. He's just into prayers. If you hear his prayers, you just be happy. But from afar, you may not know. You see, that's what I'm saying. But somebody may come close. I remember somebody who came close to him and came to me later and said negatively. He said, I went to his house. I saw this. I saw this. I said, look. And I said to myself, this is why you should never go there. This is why you should never go to this person's house. You see, so it's few people can be taken to the highest intimate level. Look at that, Exodus, again, 24. I love this verse. How many are loving this verse? How many never knew that Joshua went for the thing to the mountain? He went with Moses, the two of them. Very close guy. Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Change the version, brother. Change the version. Change the version. Change the version. We see. So Moses and his assistant, Joshua, set out. And Moses climbed up the mountain of God. I mean, if you are going out to this dangerous place, you will need somebody to be around in the mountain. What about if something happens to you there? Message Bible. So Moses got up, accompanied by Joshua, his aide, and Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Are you there? This is all in my book, Art of Leadership. Seven things to notice in the presence of great leaders. Number one, notice their vision. What is their aim? Number two, notice their achievements. And analyze their achievements very well. If you see a crusade, you should look at it very well. I don't have to tell you that if you can go from South Africa to Ghana to conduct a crusade there with your own trucks and cars, that's what we even teach you, that it's not a small thing that has happened. But people sit and they look at achievements, they don't even notice what it is. So it's important to notice. One day I was in Korea, and the Holy Spirit whispered to me that the Yonggicho that you see, because of the Korean language, you don't know him at all. He is far greater than you know. Yes, the Holy Spirit whispered, he's far greater. He told me all this, just this church, and it's true. It's true. It's a massive thing that no one has any idea what it is, what he's done. Because of the Korean, you don't get it. So it's important in the presence of great people to notice their achievements. Number three, notice their focus. Like you will notice often if you are in the presence of a great person that is concentrating on something. He's doing something. He's doing something that you are not doing. If I came around with people, most of the people I came with, they are not really doing much at this conference. They are just hanging around. I'm just around. I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm here, I'm working. I'm working. I'm working. I'm working. From here, I'm going to another one. I'm continuing. I was working before I left Ghana. That's why I left and I came. I was tight. I didn't even stay in my house for the whole week. I'm busy. Notice their focus, but you don't notice. That's what you also not do. You're also not focused. Notice their faith. How they believe. Value the moments. Notice their words. When Kenneth Hagin said he would not pray for me, I noticed it. And even when I saw Bonke, I didn't ask him to pray for me. I'm experienced. And I've heard him preaching about things. I know what he believes. So I didn't ask him. I just wanted to be there. Yeah. And he pointed to me, I'll tell you. He told me something. He said, this is a testimony for you. To you. You listen. and he told me something happened to him in Singapore. Do you know this person? I said, I know him. That's your secret. Four, notice their relationship with God. I'm sure Joshua noticed when he went with Moses to the mountain. Charlie, it's not easy here. Number five, six, seven, any language, anyone, choose. Notice how they handle people. Notice how they handle situations. And finally, notice their weakness. There is nobody without problems. It takes eyes to see. If you think somebody's super every, it's not true. Not true. Super everything is not true. There's nothing like that. Maybe the person has the same problem you have, but you can't notice. Receive it in Jesus' name, the grace of God to be good leaders. Stand to your feet, everybody. Don't even think of going out to Wee before I finish. Hey, some are stuck in their chairs. Wow, what a blessing. Lift your hands, and I'm praying. We're going to take an offering and then we close, please. Father, thank you for the blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us. You are good to us. We love you. Lift your hand and just dip into the cloud of the grace of God, giving you the wisdom for leadership, for strength. Strength. How to be a strong leader. Strong leader to take charge, take decisions, to lead the people, control the people, do the work of God. Thank you, Father. Shando makabarandala mandala ba. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Mahara malanda balanda balanda malanda la la la. La rebele bele 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 bele. Glory to God, 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 glory to God. Oh yes. Receive the wisdom of the Lord. Receive the grace of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. God is strengthening you to be a great leader, an anointed leader. Mando mozandala makabaradala mama. Palera mandala la mamanda di Rome delle menedele mamma mamma Maria delle mefe be 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 delle menedele menedele mandala mashande maramba katala mandali cosede delle mede ci parala da shandele la mada katala la Maria delle menedele e la mandala manda sandala manda bala no bolo di me che bala dire e shaya gabala da 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 bagabala da rambanda sandele me che bala da velo de ba 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 ba. Pray, 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 pray in a moment. Pray, speak to the Lord. Dama Shandali Magaba. Neymarala Mamandele Benevelele. Mandele Mamana Yandele Benevelele. Hey Lama, Jamarana, Jamarana, Jamarana. Jamarana, 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 Mandolo momo more more de 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 Mandala la 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 de 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 We give you glory. Sombra na la majambe bebe zemele be kubala. Tela mina dele mendele beke bolodi baladala. Leire mendele be dele dele be dele be dele be dele be dele be dele be dele. Mina lima na na limo dele dele be dele be dele dele be dele. Eja na manda somoro dele dele be dele be dele be dele. Zei be dele be dele shondo lo momo. Maria dele be me zemele be meke bolodi be dele. Hey la mama 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 ya lulu 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 lulu. Hey mama mama zamba la na velo lulu lulu lulu. Hey mama da beze do lo mono mele kede. Mino mele kede, 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 mino mele kede. Mande ze mele boza, mara li beze de jele bezo bara. Hey lo bara na li vore de li vede 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 vede. Hey da na mande velo lulu vede 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 vede. Hey, le bre 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 le Sisi Ketelo Haseme Suma Sanele Sensum Sensum Sansanoko Mensin Ponsin Kenskinamo Flechanga Gremosin de Chimleget Plenusin and Kramat Namorele Havende Zerebule Messente Sumre Kimren Demre Sendre Prechitel Haste de Kedegale Jin zem zum zen zin zen zum zum zan zan dare. Chill just cheering grunchin john tele dum zen chin zane jen. Chichis tale ches tu stendis ton di kubus tu legelis. Wetsi senke brana la manda vele le vis sumpa. Ah, di krosonde. Hallelujah. Father, thanks. Thanks for blessing us. Thanks for teaching us. Thanks for making us into strong leaders. Thank you for your power that is released into our leadership methods. Thank you for wisdom to scale the cities of the mighty, to solve problems, Jesus. Thank you that you are anointing us to solve problems, bring solutions, deliver the whole city by wisdom. We receive the wisdom and the knowledge. A wise man is strong, and therefore we are strong. You are giving us wisdom. We receive it and we walk in it. Thank you for the wisdom of symptoms and signs. Thank you for showing us signs and symptoms of many things. How to make people follow and obey when we are not present, when we are absent. Thank you for raising up strength in our leadership. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for South Africa. Southern Africa. Thank you for blessing the nations with more churches and powerful pastors. Great churches and pastors, wonderful workers and leaders all over. Thank you for children. Children that make us mighty. Arrows in the hand of the mighty. Thanks for strength. Thanks for power that is released to work. Thank you for calling us to work for you. Thank you. We lift our hand and we receive the call. The call to be excellent leaders, powerful and strong leaders. Strong. Strong. Thank you. Thank you. That is a blessing. Thank you that no one here is going away the same. Thank you that you are increasing us every day. Thank you that whatever is weak here has been strengthened in Jesus' name. Thank you that whatever is not working is working from now. Thank you that whatever is small is becoming great this year. Thank you for great power. 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 Power of the Spirit. Power. Thank you for special moments you give us with great people. Thank you for special moments that we will never despise and trivialize. Thank you for healing our secret problems. Thank you for healing our complicated situations. Thank you for bringing an answer to everything that is long standing without answers, long standing without solutions. The solution has come, we thank you. The answer has come, we thank you. The breakthrough has come, we thank you. For the Lord has done it and has released a fire upon the mountain. The fire shall consume your enemies and those that lift up their horns to oppose you shall be crushed. For the Lord will perform his work and do great things in your time and in your life. Whatever stands before you, whatever represents an opposition, whatever represents a mountain or a hill or an obstacle, is declared, move out of your sight in Jesus' name. Whatever represents a valley, a deep hole, a trap, a trick, you are now declared escape from that valley and that trap. I see a crooked way. And some of you are on that crooked way. Whatever is crooked is commanded to be straight now. Every rough plane is made smooth for you. In the name of Jesus. Whatever lies ahead of you, unexpected problems, unforeseen challenges, situations that you have not budgeted for or planned for, the Lord gives you the upper hand over it now in Jesus' name. The Lord gives you the upper hand, and the Lord strengthens you with wisdom, for a wise man is strong. A man of knowledge increases strength. Receive strength from the Lord over and against all obstacles and mountains and valleys and hills and everything that stands before you. God's grace is upon you. The mountain of poverty is moving now. I say move now. Move. The mountain shall be moved in Jesus' name. The mountains of debt are moved out of your life now in Jesus' name. The mountains and hills obstacles of marital problems and confusion are commanded to move now in Jesus' name. May your light shine. May glory come out of your life. May you shine as a leader. May you shine as a shepherd. May you shine as a pastor. From today, may the nation and the nations from where you are coming experience the glory of your ministry and the light of your ministry in Jesus' name. Whatever you couldn't do before you came to this conference, you are now capable of doing it in the name of Jesus. Whatever you couldn't reach to, you couldn't get there, you are getting there now in Jesus' name. Whatever you couldn't lay your hands on, God has put it in your hand easily now in Jesus' name. A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases in strength. Receive that strength from the Lord now in Jesus' name. A wave of prosperity more than businessmen can achieve is now released into the shepherds and the pastors. What pastors, what businessmen couldn't achieve, God is adding it to your life without working for it. I command it to be so in your life in Jesus' name. The prophecy you believe is the prophecy that is going to happen in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 I see a wave of prosperity coming into the hand of the shepherd. God is putting it in your hand, oh shepherd. Oh shepherd. Oh shepherd. God is putting it in your hand. What a businessman couldn't lay hold on. You are commanded to lay hold on it now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes. In the mighty name of Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering and you may be seated.